This morning we're continuing a short series on the family and looking at some things. You know, remember last time, it seems like it's been forever since I've gotten to preach a sermon. You remember the last time we preached on the family, we were in Genesis chapter 2, and we went back and looked at the family and how the husband and the wife are to be married. They become one flesh, and we looked at that, and we went through Ephesians chapter 4 and looked at some things. We'll refer back to that here in just a moment. But one of the things I want us to look at is just the issue that we have. Anybody ever had to raise kids? Isn't it fun? It is so much fun to raise kids, and it really is. It really is, but there are some struggles also within raising kids. And this morning, we want to just take and look at what the Scripture calls us to do concerning kids. And this is going to be our verse for the next two times that I preach. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." That's the text this morning. Next time's text is, "But bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." Very key for us as believers, as we spend our lives for at least, 20-some years raising children many times within our lives. But we see this text not provoking our children to anger. I bet if you think about it, you have probably done that at some point. If you have kids, you have provoked your kids to anger. You may not have intended to, but you may have done it, probably have. Now, you understand that as we come out of this, this is as the relationship of parents to raising children. But who is it specifically addressed to? It's specifically addressed to dads, to fathers. Why? As we looked at it in the book of Genesis and in Ephesians 4, that fathers and are the head of the house does not mean that they are necessarily the boss. They are equal as spiritually together. But what? God has put one as head over the other. Does not mean they're smarter. Does not mean they're better. But God has put them in that position of leadership within the home. All right? So the command here is directed at the fathers, at the dads, not to provoke to anger. Now, does that mean that moms can't provoke to anger? Oh yeah, moms can do that also. So it's really towards both of us, but the responsibility of the home as the one husbands that will one day give an account to the Lord, as Hebrews 13 tells us, of those that are under our responsibility. So ultimately, in the home, who's it lay at? At the feet of daddies. As we have such a responsibility in raising our children and being that authority within the home. Now, you've got to understand, within the time period that this was written, this was on the edge, because children were property. You could do whatever you wanted to with children. If they really bothered you, I mean, you could get rid of them. You could beat them. You could do whatever you desired. And for the idea that a father would think that it would not, that they were not to be a discouragement to their children, was just crazy. And Paul's coming along and he is saying, don't provoke your children to anger. Totally, totally new concept to this age. And we see that throughout Scripture, different ways, and I have stolen from a fellow named Lou Priolo. All right, he's written many books on biblical counseling, especially for parents and children. He has written a book, or not a book, but a section in one of his books, is 25 ways to provoke your children to anger. 25. And let me tell you, as I looked at the list, he didn't do all of them. We've got 25 down. We're not going to spend a lot of time on each of them. Some of them you're going to say, I didn't even get a chance to read that, because we're going to click back, quit. Graduation is today at Floyd Central. I'm going to try to have you out in time for graduation at 2. You excited? All right. But we're going to take one amen. All right. But as we looked at last time, we looked at this passage of Scripture about marital harmony within the home, and how that provokes anger. Now, folks, I understand homes are not always complete, where there's not always a husband and a father, but whenever a husband and a wife, but there, the vast majority of times where that is, there needs to be that picture, as we looked at the last time whenever we were in Genesis and then in Ephesians, that in the home, the husband and the wife, they have left their parents. Remember we said that last time? And you leave them and you cleave together. So many times some of the problems that will take place within a home is whenever that leaving and cleaving together doesn't take place, and people are running back to mamas or daddies and getting their support from them rather than coming together as a married couple and working together within their family. You see, now, there's not a problem going to your parents and getting advice, all right? But parents, if you have grown children that are coming to you and they're wanting advice, and it sounds as if there's a division between the mom and daddy of your grandkids, talk to both of them, all right? Let them be reading into both of their lives, not causing division within the home. One of the things that just is very destructive when that's not taking place. In our society, we see it with just some of the moral issues that are taking place of the day and the differences in what marriage is and things of that nature. And we see where that's not taking place. And this picture that God has put in place to show who that He is, and it's destructive to the home. Many times, there are those that they'll have a home that's centered on the child. Have you seen that? I've heard people make that statement. Said, you know what? Everything about our house revolves around the kids. I've seen it. It's easy to do whenever you've got all the sporting events that are taking place and all the other activities to be involved in and everything is wrapped up totally 100% within the children. And it's very interesting that whenever those homes are like that, when the children leave, the parents don't know each other. And many times there's many problems within a marriage whenever kids leave home because that relationship hasn't been built. But most of all, everything within the house has been built around those kids and not built on the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Folks, it's everything that we do. And we are not pointing to mom and dad as being the center. We're not pointing to the kids as being the center. We're pointing to the Lord as being the center of the home. Difficult on the home. Whenever, you know, what happens whenever it becomes kid-centered? They got to get what they want, when they want it, and what doesn't happen. The self-discipline doesn't take place. The realization that they are living for the Lord rather than for themselves, that selfishness centers into their life. You say, well, that won't provoke them to anger. Just try to not give them what they want. And guess what happens? Boom. Boom. As they get angry because they don't get what they want. Don't worry. That's why they get angry most of the time. All right? It happens over and over and over again when that's taking place. But understand that one of the things that provokes us is that sinful anger within our life. So many times, parents want to model that sinful anger and are angry all the time. I have met some. I have been to that point in my life that, you know what, I'll go and it seems like for a week I'll be just angry, waiting for something to happen. By God's grace, He's changed my heart a lot. I'm not perfect yet. You can ask some of them that live in my house. Don't look at them. All right? But you don't model that as being the way that we operate within life. Because what happens when they see that you do that? What do they want to do? They want to be angry. Scripture tells us, Ephesians, just chapter before, it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Notice this part. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. You understand that your speech grieves the Spirit of God, as it is angry and it is bitter and as it is not building up. You think about that. Anybody want to grieve the Spirit of the Lord? I mean, you think about it. He says, "You don't grieve this one as you were sealed for the day of redemption." He says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you." It is not the attitude of your heart. We have spoken on it several times, but in the scriptures, it is rare that anger is described as good. There's about two times that it says, "Be angry and sin not." There are times that God is spoken of as being angry, and it is righteous anger. But over and over and over and over again within the scripture, it is not spoken of as righteous. It's a warning against what takes place when you get angry, and especially with kids. And let them see that kindness within your heart and that tenderheartedness. Sometimes I've seen people that just, they consistently discipline in anger. That's the only way they know how to do it. And James tells us, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Have you ever produced righteousness in somebody by getting mad at them? You think about it. When somebody's upset at you, what do? I bow up. I'm like, "You want to yell at me, buddy? I'm not listening to another thing you're saying. You want to be angry? You want to be ticked at me? You may be as right as everything there is, but it really doesn't matter." And most of the time, they're not. Not disciplining out of that anger consistently. Folks, sometimes we do. If we do discipline out of anger, what do we have to do? It's what's helped me a lot is, you know what? Whenever I discipline and I do it out of anger, you know what I know? And many times it stopped me is I realize that I'm going to have to go to my son or I'm going to have to go to my daughter and I'm going to have to say, "You know what? Daddy was wrong. And he responded out of anger. And I don't have, and you know what I want to do?" I said, "But you did." I can't say that because you know what? It's daddy's fault, not ours or his. And I have to ask for forgiveness. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like to do that. And it's a check for me that I'm not going to have to do that within raising children. Let them know that love and that compassion for them as we discipline them. And even scolding, we will not look at that too long. But, you know, it's that heart and that attitude of that correction that you come across with. Don't teach them how you don't want them to react by the way that you work with their lives. Sometimes we have a double standard. I've heard the statement said many times, says, "Don't do as I do, but do as I say." If you have read the Bible, that's not what it says. What do? We model what we desire to take place within our children. We model godliness. We model the attitude and the heart that we desire them to have. Now, folks, it's not that they become copycats of us. But if they copy us, basically it would be okay. Folks, there's faults in all of us, all right? If you think that you're trying to show your kids that you're perfect, you're not. Let them see, they'll see the faults, and guess what? Sometimes they'll point them out. One of the greatest sanctifying events in our life is children that will help expose who we are. That's why you got them. One reason. And sure, you see who that you are. There's a double standard. And it's something that even in church discipline that Scripture tells us in Matthew 7. It says, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but don't notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. It's that idea that you want them to do different and live up to a higher standard than you do. And so what do? It is that self-examination as you are correcting them. Or after you've realized that you've corrected them and you've been hypocritical in your correction, and you have to repent and go back to them and change. I'll tell you what, let your kids hold you accountable. You say, oh, that's ridiculous. They'll do it. You know, if there's sin in your life, what do you need? Accountability. And they will help you. The second thing is just that constantly finding that fault and digging and digging and digging at the fault. And especially when it's the same thing that you have within your life. One of the things that's harmful with kids, and I think causes them to anger, is being inconsistent with discipline. It sounds a little different even than what we just said, but consistently living out Christ in front of them and disciplining them consistently. You know what? Your kids ought to know when they do wrong, what's going to happen. Or when they do right, what's going to happen. Consistent. Scripture says, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Now, folks don't like that. As you know, I have spanked my kids. David, have I spanked you? Lots of times. Confession is good for the soul, David. Okay. I won't ask Michael. All right. I'll be nice. But they need to know that's going to take place whenever there are those things that happen within their life. Now, folks, does it have to be spanking? You know what? I didn't spank Michaela near as much as I did David. I could look at Michaela cross-eyed, and she would change. David has a very solid rear end. Because that's what it took. And you know what? I heard it over the years, and David has told everybody here, probably, or many of you here, he's autistic, and many times, you know what? The reason he's acting up is because he's autistic. And you know what? David and I started noticing over the years is as we watched his autism, every time that he started into a fit, it was because he didn't get his way. And you know what started happening? We realized that, and every time he didn't get his way and he had a fit, guess what happened? What happened, David? Got grounded and what else? Okay, thank you. And he did get grounded. But it was consistent. And it was because of what? Is that attitude? And he knew what the boundaries were. And it helped. It was definite disobedience. Y'all know David, he's a good kid. Good kid. But they know the boundaries. I didn't realize this. Debbie shared this with me this last week, and I shared it with somebody else this week, but she said, and this was surely by accident, and God's grace, I don't know, my parents did it, I don't remember, but she said, you know what, Steve, you do? You take one issue and you just seem to stay on it until change takes place. And I was like, do I do that? And then I started thinking through, and I do. And, you know, it's just over and over and over and over again. They know where the wall is, and they know all they got to do is change it. And you know what? Eventually what happens? By God's grace, they change. Now, can it take a long time? Oh, my goodness, can it take a long time? But you do it a little bit at a time. And then as they start to change, what do? You praise them. You let them know that you're grateful for what is taking place within their life. Is it you? No. It's the great God that allows you his word to use it within their life. Be consistent. They need that, those places that they bump up against and they know that are unmovable in life. And they learn to even trust you through that as they see it in their lives. Be consistent. You know, a lot of people have come up in society, they come along and they've said, you know what, they're going to outlaw spanking. They might. Guess what? If they outlaw it and they're going to take my kids away, guess what? I'm not going to spank. You say, you're contrary to God's word. No, if you notice, it's a proverb. What's a proverb? It is wisdom for life. These aren't commands. All right, but these are things that he talks about within Proverbs of how to do it. All right, you talk about taking my kids away. I'm going to do everything I can to keep them in my house. Amen? Everything. You know, do I think that's a better tool? Oh, yeah. But I'm going to submit to the authority. This, and you know what? You got to. This is a proverb giving us wisdom of how to raise children. Sometimes I got to look at the time. Being legalistic or not admitting when you're wrong. You know, that's one of those things that you need to do. You need to be able to confess. You will screw up as a parent. Anybody here not screwed up? Go ahead, raise your hand. I'd like you to. No. You will. One of the saddest things I heard in a guy in my last church, and his wife told me, he says, my husband has never said that he was ever wrong. How ungodly to put it up that you could be perfect. Ungodly. Man, we need to confess when we're wrong. It says, if you conceal your transgression, you'll not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. You're real people too. Confess. When you have done wrong, man, I have done some stupid things over the years. Stupid, idiotic. I won't ask Debbie to give me any more descriptions. But go to them and confess. Not being legalistic, just being all the rules. We'll kind of skip through for just a moment. Comparing kids to others. You know what? Your kids are different. They will be different. And one at one time will be acting better than the other one, and then there'll be that other one will be acting better than the other one. It'll take place. Don't make the comparisons about he's the good one or she's the bad one or she's the bad good one and he's the bad one. Don't do that. We see it in the scripture where there's a lot of comparisons of the children with Abraham and going and looking at all those. How's it always end up? A mess. Don't. They are each individual people created in the image of the living God. Love them. Even if they're different than you and have different... My son likes sports. I don't know where I got him. I don't like sports until the last 15 years. Guess what I've learned to like? Sports. I didn't ever turn that thing on for sports. Guess what gets on a lot now? If you know David, not listening to a child and his opinion. I don't know how many times that I've made that mistake. I've walked in on Debbie and in the middle of talking about something, and I've walked in on the last 15 seconds of the discussion, and I've made an automatic decision that child is wrong and they need to be in trouble, and I've done whatever's supposed to take place, and Debbie does that. Come here. I've screwed it up again. And she tells me the whole thing that's taken place for 10 minutes before I walked in and explains what's happened, and I have to do the repentance. And will you forgive me for acting like a fool again? and hearing what took place. Listening to your kids. Have time to talk to them. Make the best use of the time. We've said it several times around here, that time to just take at a meal and share it together. It is just a given that we're going to sit around the table and we're going to eat. We're going to have breakfast together and we're going to have dinner together about 90 or 95% of the time around our table. Now, we get up stinking early to do that. But it's a priority and an important time that we talk. You know, we go to Walmart, go to Dollar General, or go wherever it is. A lot of times we try to take a kid. You know why? So we can talk to them. And you know what? Sometimes going to the Dollar General, it's nothing. But still taking that opportunity and that time to talk. We looked at this a little bit, but parents just reversing the roles that God's given them. You see it in the way that family life is taking place and where that the husband is not leading as God has called him to do. And it causes problems within the home because one of the things, what are you doing? You're teaching those boys within the home how to live in their home and teaching those young ladies how to live in their home and to be able to have a godly family that honors the Lord. Make them angry by failing to keep promises. Scripture tells us, It says, but above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. You know what? As parents, be faithful to what you say and do what you're going to say. It's one thing I've learned. I said, you know what? With everything of my being, I'm going to try to do what I'm going to do, what I've said I'm going to do. You know what? I've had times that we are, as a family, we're going to go do something. I get a telephone call as we're walking out the door, and I've got to go someplace. But you know what? My children have been very gracious. You can ask them. And that, you know what? They understand because you know what? Probably 90% of the time I tell them we're going to go do something, we do it. And they understand what's taking place when it can't happen. They know that heart. And you know what? They know that we're going to try to fulfill what we said we would do at another time. Life happens. Life happens. But be faithful to them. One of the other ones is, I may have missed one here on the screen. We'll see if it comes up. All righty, if we didn't. Oh, that's the one I was looking for. There we go. Discipline in front of others. It's real easy to do this. Whenever they've acted bad and you want to deal with the issue and you want to just let them have it, take them privately. Now, I understand sometimes you can't do that. All right, sometimes you've got to address it. They're about to pull over the shelf in the grocery store. You know what? You really need to take care of that. Okay, right then. All right, please do it. All right, especially if I'm under the shelf too. But by and large, try to deal with him in private with discipline. Scripture tells us as far as church discipline, we go to our brother one-on-one. Folks, it's just the house. This is just out in public and honoring your children and loving them. You know, there's something that happened yesterday and the kids did something, and I was like, you know what? There's nothing I can do about it right now. I'll address it. It wasn't horrible, but you know what? When we get in the car, I'm going to address it. And I had it set in my head, and you know what? I got in the car. I said, you know what, guys? You could have done this a little bit differently. They weren't in trouble. It wasn't a big deal, but I didn't embarrass them in front of everybody else. Take the opportunity. And I mean, we've all done that wrong, but take that opportunity to discipline them quietly. Sometimes we give them just too much freedom. Rod and the reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Folks, this is totally contrary to educational philosophy today. You just let their mind go and they'll find what's right. It ain't gonna happen. They're going to find what they want to do, and they will turn it into sin. What happens? You're left to your own devices. It will not be good. It is constant training, taking care of that, the training in their life. Gives them wisdom. God, don't give them too much, but make sure you give them enough. Don't tie those burdens on them to where they can't do what they need to do. You know what? You give them freedom, and then what happens? They abuse it, and what do? Pull it back. Is it always a balance? Yep, it always is. Always trying to make that balance, what's taking place. Cautious about making fun of them. Yeah, be kind to one another. We read earlier in Ephesians 4. Abusing them physically. Folks, I'm here to tell you, I will make you a promise. You physically abuse your child, I will pick up my phone and I will call the police. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Not acceptable. It still doesn't produce the righteousness of God. Not calling them names. Showing favoritism towards them. Or training them in ways that are inconsistent with the Word of God. You know what? This book is breathed out by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You teach them according to this book. And if it's contrary to this book, you don't teach them that way. You look at it, it's not Dr. Spock. It's not any of those things. It's what God's Word says. And it'll teach them how to live a godly life. Pretty simple. Except for the day after day rub of it. But it's worth it. Of what it does in the life of your children. And encourage them. Praise your child. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you're doing. You know what? I've been in that place where it seems like everything that has to be said is a discipline. I mean, it's day in and day out. It's like, will they ever get it? 3 years old, 4 years old, will they ever get it? Will they ever stop doing this? Will they ever get the politeness down? Will they ever? Yeah, they will. Stay consistent. And every time they make the slightest move forward, recognize it. Look everywhere. Man, I've had times, I'm like, you know what? It seems like the kids are in trouble every time I turn around. What is there to praise and to encourage them with? There is. You see it. I know they say that, you know what, there ought to be 10 words of praise for every word of discipline. Sometimes that works well. Sometimes it doesn't. But looking for those opportunities over and over and over again. 25, I think. But kids, you're sitting there going, you know what? Man, now I've got all these reasons why I can misbehave. Because, man, Dad did 5 of these, or I know of 10 of these. Scripture says just above that, I didn't put it on the screen, but in Ephesians 6:1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. You do not have an excuse to be angry. Ever. As you obey your parents. Folks, I'm here to, young people, I'm here to tell you, your parents' number one thing that they have and desire for you is the best for you. And when you understand that motive within their life, help you to be raised up in a godly home and to serve the Lord, and you realize that's what the motive is, even though as you look at this list, you know, they've screwed it up a big time. And they may have. Their motive is to raise you up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We'll look at that a lot next time we come together. That's key. You know, Scripture says love your enemies. Let me tell you what, your parents aren't enemies. And you love them and submit to them and be under their leadership within your life. A lot of things are just bang, bang, bang this morning. But I don't know how, I think we did this one other time several years ago, and it was just helpful to a lot of people, and want to spend some time and looking at it within your own life. Maybe you're here today, and I mean, you don't have kids at home, you're going to preach, it didn't apply to me. Maybe you sit back there and you go, you know what? I wish I had looked at it from this standpoint 30 years ago or 40 years ago. You know, there's some things that I sinned. Maybe you need to go back to your kids and confess. Maybe there's a strained relationship. I don't know what it is. Maybe your humility can break down that boundary that's there and maybe even bring them back wherever you are. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Today is that opportunity that you have to do that once again. And we've looked at a lot of different ways to be able to sin, a lot of different ways to live righteously. Every one of us in some way or another, we have found something that has hit deep in our heart probably of how we have not done what we ought to do. But every one of us have sinned and we've come short of the glory of God, and the Bible says that we deserve to be in hell because of that. But God so loved you, He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. He paid the price for your sin on that cross. And all you have to do today is come and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And as you do that, the Bible says to repent, turn from your sin, allow Jesus to be the Lord, the Master, the boss of your life, be in control of you. And He'll come in and He'll save your soul. Maybe today you need to come to know Christ as your Savior today. Will you come? It's God dealt with your heart. You need to respond to His word today. And now's the time. Let's pray and we'll have our time of invitation. Father, we thank You for Your word. Many things that have dealt with each of our hearts. And Father, pray that as we look through these passages of Scripture, that we don't use them to even justify ourselves, but that we would be convicted once again. Father, as I've gone through these things, there's been many areas that have convicted my heart of where I need to change as a parent. And Father, where I've been unfaithful, and I thank You for Your word that exposes our hearts. Father, I pray that that takes place today as Your word has been preached today. And Father, I pray that change would take place within each of our hearts as we desire to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Father, pray for those that don't know You as Savior, and pray that Your Holy Spirit would move within their heart today. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Will you stand? God dealing with your heart.